830-WCCO. It's News and Views on this September 18th, 2011. My name is Susie Jones. It's a program that we've just started today, and we will look at the world of news and get your views. And today's top news is the passing of Eleanor Mondale. She was 51 years old, and we want to invite you to jump in here and share stories. Maybe you worked with Eleanor. Maybe you knew her in a different capacity. Maybe you knew her from her life with horses. We invite your calls at 651-989-9226. Let's take a quick call from Paul, who's calling from Moose Lake today to share his thoughts on the passing of Eleanor. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Susie. First of all, thank you for bringing this tribute to the air, because I think it's important, and I think that it's well-deserved, and I want to thank you for your personal input into that. Moving on to that, the two ladies that you just had on, Paulson and Niemeyer, should be credited with creating a dynamic duo of personalities that have really made a strong impact on the media fabric of the state of Minnesota.
Well, thank you.
The work that you and Eleanor did, Susie, has not been matched at that station ever since you guys had to split up.
Well, you're nice to say that, Paul. We had a lot of fun. And someone asked me what our relationship was like. Was it like sisters? And I think it was like sisters. I mean, sometimes I'd get mad at her, she'd get mad at me, and then the next minute we're buddies again. So I appreciate your calling in, Paul. She was a dear friend, and my heart is breaking today. Sue Zellickson, also a former co-worker and a friend of Eleanor Mondale. Sue, tough day, isn't it?
It is a tough day, and I know we spoke yesterday, and so many memories pop up, and I know what dear friends you became from your working together, and then you're playing together as well. And now you're giving this wonderful tribute to her today, and I can recall the very first time I met her was when she brought her dog into the beauty shop. and you know, those were not small dogs that she had.
No, Fiona was huge.
That's right. And so at Thomas Charles Salon, here was this big dog and this beautiful woman walking in, and after two or three times that it happened, I noticed there was a printed sign up, no dogs allowed. They didn't care who she was, right?
And that's that was her spirit, wasn't it?
That was her spirit. And you know, she did have a spirit, and I don't know if people remember, but you and I both do, when she would bring pickles to the station.
Yes.
And she entered them in the state fair, but she put them in the wrong category.
She was so upset.
Right.
They got disqualified.
Right. And here was this woman who had traveled all over the world. I mean, to Australia, to Africa, and
Japan.
With all of the movie stars and everything else. And she's making pickles to put into the state fair, which was wonderful. She also made it, when she moved back to Minneapolis, she called me because she wanted to start a horse and dog food company.
Yes, remember that. Millie's
Best. Right. After one of her horses' names. And it did do well for a while, and then of course she got tired of that, and the last thing she did, in fact she said started that right before she quit at WCCO, she was making makeup brushes.
Yeah, the Three Janes.
Right, the three. Now isn't that amazing? Look at the life she led. I mean, you see the pictures of her, you can go on, well, I've been reading the ones on Caring Bridge from people from all over telling stories about her, and then the pictures on TV last night.
Oh,
you mentioned,
yes.
A glamorous person that, you know, and then went to live on the farm with her horses and the love of her life, Chan.
Yep, it was quite a life, quite a tapestry.
It was, but
yes.
It was way too short. But I just have to mention one other thing, that people really, no matter all the stories that you hear about her, and I interviewed her on Women Who Really Cook. Remember, you came to that. I mean, Women of Influence, the interviews that we do once a month for Minnesota Monthly.
Yep.
And her mother and mother-in-law were both there. And I don't know if her mother-in-law, if she was talking so fast and so much that no one could ask her questions about her past that she didn't want to talk about, because her present here in Minnesota was so important to her. And every morning before she came to work, she had dinner, breakfast with her mom and dad.
She did.
Drive in from the farm and then go to their house, or I think it was a condo then, and have breakfast. And it showed how much her family meant to her.
Yeah. Well, Sue, thank you for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for all you're doing, and good luck on your new show.
Yes, thank you so much. Sue Zellickson with us on News Radio 830 WCCO. It's 1242. We'll be back with more of your calls after this. News Radio 830 WCCO. It's News and Views, a brand new show here on WCCO Radio. My name is Susie Jones, and I will be your host from noon to 3 every Sunday. And we are going to be taking a look at the news of the day, both locally, nationally, internationally, a wide scope of information for you every Sunday afternoon. But today's big news story, in case you're just joining us, is the passing of Eleanor Jane Mondale. She was a friend of mine and my coworker, and I loved her dearly. And I will miss her. And we have offered you the opportunity here to jump in and share your Eleanor stories, if you have one, and if you just want to say hello, 651-989-9226. And we've got Barb and Dan on the line. We'll get to them in just a minute. But we want to first start out with Rocco Bonello. And Rocco had a great opportunity to hang out with Eleanor at the Grammys and also to work with her interviewing the Dalai Lama. So, Rocco, pretty cool stuff, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, that within, like, 3 months. It was, like, February and, like, April. We went out to L.A. to cover the Grammys for the radio station, and then a few months later, I get a call. Hey, can you and Eleanor go to Madison tomorrow? She scored a one-on-one interview with the Dalai Lama, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, wow. I mean, I was like, you know, it was like a dream come true. It was crazy.
Well, that was kind of Eleanor's life. I know, like, I've mentioned this to people in sharing stories. Just in casual conversation, she would say, well, I remember one time at Camp David.
Right.
I would just, like, look at her and go...
Yeah, that's kind of the story I was going to tell, too, because we were out covering the Grammys, and we were at this pre-show party sort of thing, and we probably even weren't supposed to be interviewing anybody, but we, you know... We wanted to get some the scoop for CCO, so we saw Randy Jackson from American Idol walking around.
Okay.
And she's like, oh, we should interview him. And I'm like, oh, come on. We're just like this little radio station in Minnesota. You know, he doesn't want to talk to us. So she got his attention, and he's like, Eleanor, I remember you. Didn't we party like in Aruba in 85 with Keith Richards' band? And she didn't even remember. She's like, I remember that party. I don't remember you. And then later he tried to get her number. And, you know.
No.
That Eleanor thing. You know, it's like she had this fabulous life. And people just loved her. And she was beautiful. And, you know.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And then similar, you know, like you said, she just lived this amazing life. When we were... interviewing the Dalai Lama, you know, not only is he the spiritual leader, but he's also like the leader of Tibet. So he had all this secret service protection and these armored vans and had ambulance on standby. And I was just kind of blown away by it. But to her, it was just like, yep, that's what happens. That's what it's like to be around world leaders, you know, and it's just like...
She took it all. Yeah, she really took it all in stride. She was very comfortable in her skin.
Very, very much so. And I think one of my last memories of her was, I think she'd interviewed Smokey Robinson for your show.
Yes.
Got some tickets, so we went out to see him out at Mystic Lake. And it was an amazing show, and she was super excited to see him and just fell in love with him. And then towards the end of the show, he's like, anybody want to come up and dance? And she was the first one to jump up.
I think she stepped on someone's head, didn't she?
I think so. She was up there like in 2 seconds, just dancing on stage with Smokey Robinson. She was just awesome. So, you know, as sad as this is, you know, wow. I hope we all, I mean, I don't think any of us will have as many amazing experiences in our lives as she packed into hers.
Yeah, it really was an honor to know her.
Yep, she was a ton of fun, and I'm glad she came into my life because she helped me. I mean, the Grammys and Dalai Lama, and I mean, those are going to be, when I'm at the end of my road and I'm looking back, those are going to be two of the biggest career highlights for me, just, you know, being there, and she was part of it.
Yeah, amen. Thanks, Rocco.
Okay, have a
good one,
Susie.
Give Bruno a big kiss for me.
Okay, we're wearing our matching Vikings jerseys.
Yay,
today.
Go Vikes. All right, thanks, Rocco.
Yeah.
Rocco Bonello, a former coworker of Eleanor Mondale and friend of mine and father of a brand new baby boy that we love and embrace a new life here as we say goodbye to old friends. Let's go to Dan next on line two. Also a former coworker, Dan Geiger, how are you?
Hey, Susie Jones. I'm sorry to be talking to you under these circumstances, but yeah, I like your new show, and I heard you were talking about Eleanor, and as the producer of Mondale and Jones for a time on CCO, I'm sure you remember many of the funny moments that we shared with Eleanor, and her sense of humor, I think, was kind of dry and quick, and she wasn't afraid to say what was on her mind. And then sometimes she would speak and then realize what she said afterwards and then laugh at herself. If you remember, one of her many, many visits to the Mayo Clinic and doctors and stuff, and she came back after a few days off, and we were probably all huddled in the production room, and we asked her how the examination went, and she said something like, well, the doctor looked at my head, and he didn't find anything in there. And then she realized, you know, the double way you could take that, and she would just laugh.
Right, empty-headed.
I think her and I once were talking about Jed Clampett, Buddy Ebsen, and she said this was on the air even, I think, and she said, oh, I interviewed him, but that was before he died. And we kind of looked at one another, and then she just burst out laughing, like, well, obviously.
You know,
before he died. But I think my heart and my sympathies go out to the family and Chan, and I just want him to know how much she loved him and his music. And I remember just being in the production room with her, going over his CD, and we were dubbing some of his music into our computer there to use as bumper music on the Mondale and Jones show. And she, just the pride that she had in her expression as we listened to the music and put it in the system. And Chan, love ya, and the Mondale family, of course, too. And I just wanted to say hi. I hadn't talked to you for a while. So.
Thanks, Dan. Good of you to call in, and a wonderful story to share about Eleanor-isms. Did you know her, Chris?
I did, yeah. I mean, I started working here essentially exactly the same time she did.
Okay.
And she took over and was working with you, and I had a weird schedule, but I would fill in from time to time. And the thing that always struck me about her, and especially listening to all the remembrances that we've had, and you know the people she worked with and the people she knew and the people she interviewed, and despite all of that, what always struck me was that she was so unassuming. Mm. That she would ask for advice and she would be doing the show. And so many times in this business, we hire people and they, you know, I mean, they come in with their own ideas or they don't want feedback. She wasn't like that. When we were here and, you know, we worked a few shows solo, and every break she'd be asking me, how was that? What should I do? Did it sound, you know, and she was just always asking questions. So for somebody with her career resume, she never acted like she was more important than anybody else. She wanted the feedback. She wanted to get better. And she was always learning. And it just kind of touches me that she could be so humble with her life.
And it's a nice thing to take away as we figure out how to make sense of this, someone dying at a young age. So thanks for sharing. And I wanted to tell Barb in Plymouth, we're almost out of time, but Chan and she met, I believe, musically. It was in something about the music, and they were married in 2005 and lived at the farm. And he, like I said, they were the president of each other's fan clubs. They truly were. They had a love absolutely of the ages. And again, I want to thank everybody for calling and sharing their stories, Mary and Wendy and the rest of you. We have a lot of stuff on our website at WCCO.com. In fact, Rocco, who went with her to see the Dalai Lama, said we'll also be able to link up to some of the photos he's put up of that interview as well. So our hearts go out to the Mondale family, to Walter and Joan and Teddy and William, and of course to Chan and his family as we mourn the death of a beautiful spirit here. It's 12:55 on News Radio 830 WCCO.